You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As stated, this is Wednesday. That means it's Draft Wednesday across this Locked On Podcast Network. If you download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets, for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Again, that's with our sponsors over at the Draft app and draft.com. So as we chat on this Wednesday evening, it's an off day for the Rockets in between last night's loss at home to Toronto and tomorrow night's nationally televised game on Thursday night on TNT against the Phoenix Suns. More notably, that's the return of Chris Paul. So to break down all the storylines from, well, the disappointment of last night and the hope for tomorrow, I'm joined by Eric Spyropoulos, longtime friend of the program, NBA writer himself over with the 94 Feet Report and also Hoops Habit. First things first, Eric, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Ben. I'm happy to be back on the show.
Sure thing. And we'll get into the deflating Toronto loss. I don't know if deflating is the right word. It's more just disappointing because I think a lot of it just had to do with sheer fatigue issues accumulated over the first 14 games. But we'll start with the positive, which is the return of Chris Paul. And I know we heard today at practice from Mike D'Antoni that he's probably going to be limited to about 20 minutes because after missing a month, you do want to slowly ramp his conditioning back up. You don't want to just throw him out there for 30 to 35 minutes just out after not playing for a month. But even in a 20 minutes per game role, Eric, I assume this is a pretty significant day because you're getting a guy when he's healthy who's probably one of the top 10 players in the game and has only played one real game with the Rockets thus far.
Yeah, I mean, last year was a similar thing for the Rockets where they were missing a key guard in their rotation for, the first month of the season. The only difference is that last season, they were bringing back Patrick Beverley, who is one of my favorite players in the NBA of all time. I love Beverley. But we're talking about Chris Paul here, one of the best point guards of all time, I still think, and most people still think, a top 10 player in the league that you're bringing back and integrating to this team. A team that obviously has played a short rotation because of his injury. They don't really have another guard that's capable besides Harden and Gordon when Paul's out. So they've been forced to play a lot of minutes. They've had a big offensive burden on Harden and Gordon. And that's kind of, you've seen that play out. I mean, when Harden is off the floor in these past couple of games, the past couple of weeks, really, the offense just completely dies. Per Cleaning the Glass, which is Ben Falk's new website, which I highly recommend to those who are interested, the offense scores 14.1 points per 100 possessions more with James Harden on the floor. When he's off the floor, the offense simply dies because Eric Gordon, who's a capable ball handler, is not really suited for a primary role as a point guard for the bench unit, a bench unit that includes some, mediocre shooters in P.J. Tucker and Mbamba Mute. So, bringing back Chris Paul, he's going to play with those bench units, maybe not that much in the first couple of games as getting back to it, but when he's fully healthy and fully integrated, he'll be leading those bench units. The offense will be elite, most likely will be elite for all 48 minutes, and of course, Paul's a good defender, so he'll also bring some value on that end of the floor as well. So just the impact of bringing back Chris Paul cannot be understated for the Rockets.
So it sounds like you're saying that you feel like the biggest upgrade will not necessarily be the combination of Paul and Harden together, but the fact that you won't have those Hardenless lineups that at the beginning of the second and fourth quarters can just go into kind of a lull, so to speak. It sounds like it's less about the synergy of the two and more about just giving you that consistent option for all 48 minutes so you don't go through those dry spells that we've seen from time to time this season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm excited for how Paul and Harden integrate themselves when they're playing together, how Mike D'Antoni can get creative, get them both involved in sets, how on the fact that if Paul initiates a set and it gets blown up by the defense, he can just throw it to Harden and Harden can do his thing. That's obviously exciting and will be great for the Rockets. But as you mentioned, I actually think I'm more excited for those bench units because now Chris Paul, think about this, Chris Paul will be playing against opposing bench guards. For the most
yep.
part, no teams usually stagger like the Rockets do in terms of their point guard situation. So Chris Paul will be feasting on bench units. He'll create open looks for Mbamba Mute and Tucker, Mene and Clint Capella, depending on who's playing with him at the time. I just think that the fact that the Rockets offense considering the fact that Harden or Chris Paul will be on the floor for all 48 minutes, there's no reason to believe that the Rockets' offense won't be elite for all 48 minutes, which is something you probably can't say for any other team besides maybe the Warriors and maybe the Cavs when Isaiah Thomas comes back. So that's how excited I am about the Rockets' offense always being great.
Besides the obvious synergies there, curious what you think this means for Eric Gordon. Because I had a new column today over at the website for Sports Talk 790 making the case for why, as exciting as it is that you have Chris Paul returning, just a top 10 player in and of himself, the true variables for the Rockets are Clint Capella and Eric Gordon and whether their production from the first 15 games of the year is sustainable. And for Clint, I don't think his role and usage is going to change that much. For Eric Gordon, you are going to see some changes. The upside is that his usage should go down some. His raw minute total might as well. In theory, that should help keep him fresher so that you don't see the fatigue issues that kind of got to him at the end of last year that a lot of us sort of saw when his production tailed off. The flip side is that he's going to be going from being a number two option most of the time, a number one in those minutes that Harden is not on the floor, to pretty much a number two option at all times, and occasionally a number three in those lineups, potentially your closing lineup with Paul, Harden, and Gordon all out there. So I'm curious what you think this means for Gordon, because obviously on paper there's a big benefit from the standpoint of he's going to play fewer minutes, and that should also substantially reduce his usage. I think that's good. But how do you think, from an X's and O's basketball fit, that the return of Chris Paul, is it that meaningful to the style at which Eric Gordon has been playing the first 15 games of the year?
Yeah, well, the thing that would probably result the most from Chris Paul coming back is, as you mentioned, Gordon will almost always be a second option, if not a third option, for closing lineups, which is something that another thing I want to touch upon a little bit, which is extremely interesting for me moving forward with the Rockets finally getting healthy. We'll probably see Chris Paul and Harden will have the ball in their hands more, which means Gordon will have the ball somewhat less, obviously less, but I think he should still be giving the ball more. He's been a lot more aggressive driving to the rim. He's averaging 5.7 free throw attempts per game, which is as high as his 2011-2012 season. He's finishing through contact. He looks a lot stronger. He looks quicker. Just a better bounce off the step than in previous seasons, and obviously it led to him averaging over 22 points per game. The other aspect you mentioned, of course, is his minutes being decreased, which is something that I think the Rockets should really focus on. He's playing his highest minutes per game since that 2011-2012 season at over 33. Obviously, last year we saw Gordon struggle with his shot and seemingly kind of got tired over the course of the season. Interesting enough, he's actually not shooting that well in threes. He's only shooting 34%, which is below average, below league average, so that will obviously improve. And yeah, if you play next to Paul Harden, the defense will obviously have to be focusing on one of them. Instead of now defenses saying, oh, Gordon's going to be the point guard in these second unit lineups, we can only focus on him, defenses will have to be facing Chris Paul now, which means Gordon will have a lot more wide open and high quality 3-point looks, so I should expect that 3-point percentage to go up. And then two, as I mentioned before, with, you know, Paul and Harden, when they're playing on together, maybe Paul initiates something, but it gets blown up, so he gives it to Harden. That could also similarly happen with Paul and Gordon together, or Harden and Gordon, where Gordon will still be able to run some pick and rolls. You know, he'll get better looks from beyond the arc. He should be able to run some pick and rolls and still get to the rim. But his usage will decrease a little bit. His minutes will decrease, but that should lead to a result, higher efficiency, especially from beyond the arc.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the minutes totals in just a few minutes because I do want to break down what happened in the Toronto game last night. A shocking, I don't know if the loss is shocking, but certainly gave up 129 points and lose 129-113. It's a little bit surprising at the very least. We'll touch on that in just a few moments, but for now I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at Draft.com and the Draft app, because without support from sponsors such as them, we wouldn't be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. And well, with the return of Chris Paul, I know he's only going to play 20 minutes, but it is still Chris Paul, and well, you know Mike D'Antoni, he might extend that more than 20. So if you want to take a flyer, feeling optimistic, then yeah, you can think about starting Chris Paul in your fantasy leagues tomorrow night. And if you do that, folks, the fantasy app that I recommend the most is, of course, our partners over at Draft. Because yes, it's daily fantasy basketball, it's fun, but it's also different. It's not like the other the guys. With what you get at the Draft.com and the Draft app, it is a live snake draft every single day. It only takes 5 to 10 minutes. The customization is incredible. And then from there, there's no trades, there's no waiver wire. Even if there's a last-minute injury, the folks at the Draft app will take care of it for you. It's low maintenance. You just get to set your lineup each and every day through that 5 to 10 minute draft. Very simple. Drafts start every couple of minutes, and literally there are price points from all the way from $1 up to three and four figures. So there's pretty much a price point for everyone. But the best part of this, you guys can get in on a great special being a listener here at Locked On Rockets and across this Locked On Podcast Network. Because for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. To do that, you just use the promo code LORockets. And from there, folks, yeah, you go and draft every single day. If you want to play with us across the Locked On Network, you can search for Locked On Fantasy. There's an ongoing draft every day that I'm in. You can play with me and other listeners, or you can search for your own drafts with friends or anyone else. And as I said, there's a price point for pretty much everyone. And yeah, you're playing for cold hard cash. You get all the customization. And if you use that LORockets promo code, then you get free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. That's with the Draft app or at draft.com. So jumping back into things, we're talking about fantasy basketball because we're talking about the return of Chris Paul tomorrow night and what it means for the Rockets rotation, including the likes of Eric Gordon. And my guest today, Eric Spyropoulos, just got done making the case that, well, Eric had a decline in play because of the, and not just Eric, we can say the team as a whole has had a decline in production last night in Toronto because of the high minutes totals. And so I'm assuming that game last night, I saw some of your tweets and it just seemed like a near consensus view across most of Rockets Twitter that game last night was a long time coming from the standpoint of you had a lot of games in a short time frame. You had a lot of guys whose minutes were kind of overextended, and it just seemed like a game that, for whatever reason, the Rockets' defensive intensity was never there. Of course, that's reflected in the fact that the Raptors scored 129 points. Certainly bad officiating was a small part of it, but a big part of it was just the sheer fatigue. That was my view, and I'm guessing from Twitter, that's kind of your synopsis of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, there was a letdown game that was going to come somewhat soon, just by the virtue of the Rockets beating so many teams and beating teams by a wide margin over the basically in November. They had won six straight prior to this game. They had won. They had not lost in November yet. And they're a really thin team, as we talked about earlier, you know, with Paul coming back, that'll help the rotation. They were a thin team. They only really played two guards. They played Trevor Ariza and James Harden are both playing 37-plus minutes per game over the past five or so games, which obviously is a little bit high for November when you're trying to rest these guys and think forward for the playoffs. So obviously the effort was seen on the poor defensive end. We had some poor Harden plays defensively. We had some sloppy turnovers. The Rockets turned over 19 times. And if you play bad defense, if you turn the ball over, you know, 19 times, and if you only shoot, you know, around 30% on threes, which is what they did last night, that's not a recipe for a win, especially against a team against the Raptors who, you know, are a really good team. They're one of the best teams in the East. I mean, the Raptors themselves shot over 46% on threes, which is obviously not going to do that every night. But the Rockets defense and their sloppy turnovers really just gave the Raptors, you know, ample opportunities to win this game, and they ultimately did. Now, this is one of those games where it's a letdown game, but it also says, and it serves you a reminder, like kind of like a smack in the face. You know, you can regroup, you get Chris Paul back, you're going on the road against the Suns, who are not a good team, but they can be somewhat feisty on sometimes. So you have a two-game road trip coming up, so maybe this game can serve as kind of a pick-me-up after the Rockets kind of let their guard down after winning so many games.
Yeah, I think it's a good point to give the Raptors some credit as well, because when you look at, this is a team that lost by one the other night in Boston to a team that's had a point differential as quality as the Rockets and a team that still has the best record in the NBA. And I know Boston has some limitations long term, but they're playing extremely good basketball right now, and Toronto went right down to the wire with them in Boston. So certainly you have to give Toronto some credit as well. Other teams are capable of being good on any given night. The other thing that I took from it, Eric, I mean, I know the intensity wasn't there. I thought especially the perimeter defense, the likes of Harden, Gordon, it just seemed like DeRozan, Lowry, whoever it may be on the perimeter, it was just too easy to get blow-bys to the rim last night. You can throw Trevor Ariza into the mix as well. I thought it was an uncharacteristically subpar game from him on the defensive end. But beyond that, I did think it was nice that the Rockets responded how they did, because when you look at what happened in the middle of the third quarter, when they were down 21 points, and of course P.J. Tucker got ejected, they were having all sorts of beefs with the officials, and it just seemed like Harden was not getting the calls that he usually gets on his drives. It would have been so easy to kind of shrug your shoulders and just roll your eyes and say, this isn't our night. But yet the Rockets, they fought back. I mean, they got this to a five-point game with just a few minutes left, and ultimately, of course, what happened, they kind of ran out of gas. They expended so much energy getting back to a five-point game that I don't think they had anything left in the tank for the last few minutes of the game. But I think, at the very least, if you're trying to put together a narrative, and I would agree that the Rockets are generally a very cohesive team this year, I would assume it speaks well to them that even in a game where literally nothing was going right, and you were down over 20 points with 18 minutes left in the game, game, they still refused to check out. They still gave it everything they had from a standpoint of trying to get back and keep that streak going. They had won 6 straight games or 11-3 going into the game. Just unfortunately, the defensive miscues and the energy they had to exert getting back into it, I think, ultimately cut the comeback effort short. But I'm assuming that you should probably take at least something positive from the fact that they kept fighting, correct?
Yeah, and that kind of sheds a little bit light on that, this kind of veteran mentality that the team has, because they are a team full of a lot of veterans, a lot of quality veterans like Nene and Chris Paul. Obviously, those two didn't play last night, but they were there and on the bench. PJ Tucker, Mbamute. I know Tucker got ejected. Mbamute played 31 minutes. These kind of veterans can really have a good presence on the team mindset. Obviously, there's no really inexperienced guy. Obviously, James Harden is not some kind of inexperienced leader of the team, but the other veterans they have, kind of the toughness and the grit that a lot of these players possess, like a Mbamute, like a Tucker, like a Tariq Black, who's getting a big role, 18 minutes last night and filled it in very nicely. They don't want to let the Rockets just lay down and die at home. And obviously, it would be easy to. The officiating was questionable. Their shots weren't going in. The effort was poor after playing so many minutes, in a winning streak. Saying, hey, we got a road trip coming up that's about 2 games. You know, we can just kind of nail it in for this game and move on to the next 2 games. But they didn't do that. They fought hard. Ultimately, they kind of stalled at the end with some turnovers, and the exhaustion obviously played a factor. But it was nice to see them bounce back somewhat a little bit, give the Raptors a little bit of a fight, make them really close it out. And then, still a loss, but they're getting a big player in Chris Paul coming back, and they're going to move forward from there.
James Harden got to the line 19 times, made all 19, a tremendous night for James from the standpoint of he kept attacking the rim even though he didn't get calls. That showed that he put a lot of responsibility on himself to try and will the Rockets back in the game, absorbed so much contact. Yet, both James and Eric were below 40% from the field. It was not exactly a glamour night for either of them. Was there anything different that Toronto did against them defensively, or was it just a matter of James and Eric missed shots? And, of course, you put in some tired legs. I'll throw in that, people say, well, they're at home and it wasn't a back-to-back scenario. Keep in mind, they did just get off playing 3 games in 4 nights from Thursday through Sunday, including a back-to-back with the road. And the analogy that I made yesterday, Eric, it's kind of like, say you have a bad night of sleep. You might can get through the next day on a combination of adrenaline and caffeine, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. And in the case of the Rockets, even if they made it through that back-to-back in Indiana, maybe it caught up with them in the first game back at home, which we've heard from a lot of NBA folks in the past. I believe Matt Bullard said that himself. That's kind of a dangerous situation. So I'm just curious, was it just tired legs? Did you see anything different that Toronto was doing? Just your thoughts on why, aside from Harden getting to the line, the shooting percentages from those two guards were so poor last night.
Yeah, well, I think that, Harden's shooting was poor last night, but he has been shooting extremely well recently, especially from 3. He was taking a lot of off-the-dribble 3s, which he's been pretty good at in the past, but not great. So obviously, I think that was kind of just, it was just due to revert back to the mean of his shooting.
True.
He was shooting, over the past 5 games, he's still shooting over 42% on 3s, which is not going to sustain for the whole season. So I think him shooting, as poor as he did, 3 of 11 on 3s last night, it's kind of just reverting back to the mean. Eric Gordon missed all of his 3s. He took 7 attempts. Most of them look normal for me. Obviously, I think that he's not as used to playing as heavy minutes as Harden has in past seasons, so maybe that's even more so for him. The exhaustion factor played a big role. One thing I want to do give credit for is OG Anunoby, the Raptors rookie, who was not expected to contribute at this stage at all, but is actually contributing even more, playing 30 minutes, 16 points. He was a plus 22. He played really, really solid defense using his length on guys like Harden and Gordon, and is able to switch. And such an extremely valuable player to have for the Raptors, who need that. He has the shapings to be a lockdown defender as soon as this season, really. And of course, in the future moving forward. So the fact that they were able to get him in it's pick 24 because of the concerns about his injury. He's been playing really well for them, and I thought he did a really good job defensively last night.
Last couple of questions now with Eric Spyropoulos, NBA writer for Hoops Habit, and of course with his own site, the 94 Feet Report. Eric, you mentioned Tariq Black earlier. If there's one new thing to the Rockets the past few days, well, besides Chris Paul's return, which we covered earlier, it's the fact that with Nene's injury, and of course it's not always an injury with Nene, we know that even if he had no injuries, he's still going to miss anywhere from 15 to 20 games in the minimum, just based on maintenance for a 35-year-old big man in today's NBA. Tariq Black had a little bit of a slow start to the year because, of course, he missed most of training camp in the preseason with a sore knee. But it seemed like, at least to me, these past couple of games, that Nene has been out, that Tariq Black is looking a lot springier. He's played pretty well. You touched on it earlier, but explain what you're seeing from him, and I'm assuming that's a positive from the standpoint of if you do see the Rockets get a little bit tired, he seems like one of those energy guys that you can put in, and in a pinch, he can get you some easy baskets if some of those older, more veteran legs are a little bit lethargic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a really big fan of Tariq Black. I think, you know, the fact that he's a third-string center for the Rockets is a real luxury. Teams would love to have him as their backup center. He's really good defensively. He just knows where to put himself defensively. And he's not overly big. He's not going to block a lot of shots. He's going to be a good positional and kind of have great defensive awareness. He sets really good screens, which is important, obviously, for guys like Harden and Paul to create and especially get ample room to drive to the rim. He has a lot softer hands than I remember him having in his first game with the Rockets. Obviously, he had played for the Lakers for a couple of years. I hadn't seen that much of him during his time with L.A., but he has a lot softer hands now. A couple passes, especially in that game against the Pacers, and last night he caught some passes that I didn't expect him to pass them to catch, excuse me, and some of those passes Clint Capela has struggled to catch as well himself, and obviously Nene is known for his great hands as well, so him being able to do that on the offensive end as well as provide his situational defense is really positive for me. And, you know, we mentioned that he hasn't had that many opportunities. Obviously, he knew when he signed with the Rockets that he wasn't going to. A game against the Sixers, the first game at Philadelphia, I had tweeted out something, a couple of video examples of him playing some really lockdown deep against Joel Embiid, where one time he stripped him, another time he forced him into a double team, which caused a turnover. That was one of those games where he got the 12 minutes when Nene was out. So, you know, when Black gets the opportunity, he does his job. He just knows where to be, he knows how to play, and he'll always do it well for the Rockets in the small opportunities that he gets.
Last question for you, Eric. I know earlier this year you were a little bit pessimistic on Trevor Ariza, had a slow start to the year. Maybe it was somewhat related to the foot sprain he suffered very early in the year, that Memphis game. But it's also kind of combined with the fact that this is his age 32 season, a point where you do see some slippage from a lot of players around the league. That was 3 weeks ago. I'm curious what you've seen from Trevor the past few weeks. Obviously, the shooting percentages, at the very least, have taken an uptick for him in a lot of the games of late. But are you seeing overall, is he moving a lot better? Are your concerns mitigated at all relative to, say, how you viewed him a month ago? Just curious where you stand on Trevor now, because I know going into the year, he was someone that just given that age 32 season, you at least had a little bit of a watchful eye on.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, coming into the season, I just figured, you know, he's played so many minutes over the past couple of seasons, and he's obviously had a long career, age 32 season. I just expected some kind of, you know, decreased production from him on both ends of the floor. His shooting has quietly been below average. It was below average last year at 34.4% on threes. It's now 32.3% on threes, but he's taking a career high 7.2 per game. So I guess he's, you know, the volume is so far making up for the inefficiency in terms of accuracy. His scoring is down. He's also taking fewer shot attempts. He's also playing more minutes, which is interesting, but of course, Navam Mute missed a game or two. And they had to, you know, they always rely on Trevor Ariza a lot, just the quality veteran that he is and the presence he has in the locker room. Always want to rely on him. I think that his shooting, it will improve a little bit more, but to say he's going to definitely be an above average shooter is just not that accurate because he wasn't last year. And, you know, he's had past seasons where he's been exactly league average at 35%. So if you can kind of get 34, 35% of him on this volume, he provides the offensive value that you want and really need with both Harden and Paul coming back together. So they're providing enough offensive value themselves. And hopefully Eric Gordon can continue. On the defensive end, you know, by most metrics, he still grades out as a positive defender. At times, the effort and struggle and just the actual mobility and you know, lateral and vertical movement he has obviously is going to continue to deteriorate as he gets older, which is why guys like Tucker and Mbamute, who are both 30-plus themselves but have less minutes on their bodies than Ariza, are going to be even more important. I think Tucker and Mbamute have been extremely valuable this year, just giving Ariza a break when necessary or, you know, against a team like the Warriors when you need 3-plus high-quality perimeter defenders, you now have them. But there should be some nights where Mike D'Antoni should look and realize and say, I can play Mbamute an extra 5-10 minutes and take a load off Ariza to keep him fresher throughout the rest of the season. You don't want to wear him down by playing him 36-plus minutes now in November. He's getting older. He's played a lot of minutes. You want to keep his legs fresh for both his shooting to improve a little bit and his defense to maintain that kind of above-average level. And doing so will keep him fresh for the entire season.
Sure, and I think there's also a trickle-down effect that you can see from the return of Chris Paul because, of course, if your closing lineups have Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon, then there's possibility that maybe you don't have to run Trevor Ariza quite as much. So even though Chris Paul is a point guard, you could have some trickle-down effects all the way down to the 3 and 4 spots in terms of the guys in your rotation because of the way that Mike D'Antoni's free-flowing offense plays. And of course, you get Trevor Ariza more efficient. I saw you point out earlier today that with the Rockets' subpar shooting night last night, they're back down to 34% as a team, which is in the bottom five of the league in three-point shooting. That's obviously skewed a little bit just based on the high volume that they attempt. But certainly you'd like to have them better than bottom five in accuracy. And I think Trevor's one of the main guys that you look at his numbers and say that they should be at least a little bit more than what they are at the moment. So that's why I wanted to get your take on him. Eric, thank you so much for the time today. Before you go, toss out your Twitter handle, toss out your website, your podcast, basically where Rockets fans can find you if they're not already aware of your work already.
All right, so you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Spiros NBA, just a shortened version of my last name. You can get all my Rockets articles for Hoops Habit, and then I founded a website, the 94 Feet Report, which you can check out at 94feetreport.com, where I also host the 94 Feet Report NBA podcast with episodes coming on Mondays and Fridays. So, yep, you can follow me there.
Excellent, good stuff. As always, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to catching up with you again soon, okay, buddy?
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. That's Eric Spiropoulos, host of the 94 Feet Report podcast and founder of the website, also Rockets writer for Hoops Habit, good friend of the program. Love his insight, not just in the Rockets, but the NBA as a whole. Appreciate that he's able to kind of contextualize not just this team, but the broader landscape of the league as well, because certainly Toronto, I think that gets lost. Certainly there were some fatigue issues with the Rockets last night. Certainly there was some bad officiating too, but sometimes you got to give the other team credit. And Toronto's a team, despite their postseason deficiencies, there are a lot of very good players on that team that make them a good team over the 82-game regular season. And again, they took the Celtics, a team that had won 12 in a row, the hottest team, the best record in the league, down to the wire the other night in Boston. So certainly there are no slouches. And as much as we kind of say that it was a schedule loss for the Rockets, they were tired. A lot of guys like Eric Gordon had been overextended over the course of the first, 14 games of the season before last night. Give the Raptors some credit as well, and that's why I like having Eric, because he's able to give some national perspective on the NBA, in addition to, of course, the breakdown of what's going on here in Houston with the Rockets. Anyway, don't know how to say it better than Eric has over the past 30 minutes or so, so I will wrap up this brief episode of Locked On Rockets right here. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Ben Dubose. If you want to follow Eric on Twitter, as he said, at Eric Spiros NBA, or you can follow the show, Locked On Rockets, on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. That's the Twitter handle. You can also email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor of this program, just as our friends at the Draft app were today. Remember, download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets. And for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit over at the Draft app or at draft.com. Again, LORockets is the promo code. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, I strongly encourage you to do that. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, pretty much wherever you want to search for your podcast. We'll throw in TuneIn as well, but we're across the networks. Just search for Locked On Rockets. Subscribe to us if you aren't already. Also, leave us a 5-star review, especially on iTunes. The better reviews we get, the easier it is for us to sell to advertisers and continue to bring you this program as frequently as we do. So if you haven't left a review already, please do. Love to hear feedback and, well, it's your support that makes the show as viable as it is at the moment. So I want to say, as always, thanks to all of you guys for regularly tuning in. For now, though, I will leave off because, well, we've got a lot more to look forward to tomorrow. So let's save some stuff for that one because 9:30 tomorrow night, the Rockets, now with Chris Paul, it's not a debut, but it feels like a debut because, well, he only played one game, and in that game in Golden State, he was obviously very limited, did still play well from a distribution, defense, and rebounding perspective, and actually was instrumental in the Rockets getting that win at Golden State, but certainly did not have his usual bounce offensively in terms of what to expect tomorrow night. I don't know that he will play the regular minutes. Obviously, Mike D'Antoni said today at practice that he'll be capped at about 20, but even if his minutes are capped, I do think you'll see him with a little bit more bounce, and so maybe in those minutes, you'll see a little bit more of the usual Chris Paul offensive efficiency. And of course, well, in addition to that, maybe bring a little bit of extra three-point shooting as well, which is one area the Rockets have been lagging the last couple of games. So yeah, look forward to seeing Chris Paul return tomorrow night. And of course, after it's over, look forward to talking with you guys again right here on Locked On Rockets to break down whatever happens tomorrow night in Phoenix. Again, nationally televised game, 9:30 is the late game of the TNT doubleheader on Thursday evening. So until then, folks, get some rest and, well, look forward to seeing your Rockets tomorrow night with Chris Paul, the Hall of Famer-to-be, captaining the ship as your starting point guard. Until then, have a good night and look forward to talking with you guys again after the Chris Paul era, well, the second part of the Chris Paul era begins tomorrow night in Phoenix. Until then, have a good evening.